What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 31st. Happy April Fool's Day tomorrow. Yes, we do a regular thing, so don't be startled when you see something strange late at night tonight. And we are going to talk about baseball. A few things. One, OTC formatting, that is the On the Corner podcast I do with Eric Samolsky every week, is changing a little bit. And I apologize that I didn't do my part of it last night. I had a lot of extra things I had to take care of, and it just kind of slipped by, where I am going to do a solo podcast on the Corner podcast, not here on the Plus Pitch, but on the main feed of Pitcher List, where I will be giving my quick 2 cents on the moves of that week. I think this is a better system because it allows us to do a different podcast dedicated with Eric Samolsky, which is reviewing the matchups of the weekend and the next week every single Thursday. So look forward to that on Friday morning. It's what we're going to be doing moving forward. We realize it's the most helpful thing for you. It is the most helpful thing. And you should definitely go subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, On the Corner Podcast. We also do it on YouTube as well. And if you're not liking and subscribing this podcast video on YouTube right now, what are you doing? Help us out. You're missing out the best content that we do. Okay. So, Lance McCullers Jr. went yesterday, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, 17 whiffs, 32% CSW. I was describing today what I do relative to others, and that is a lot of people are quoting like FIP and XFIP and K-minus walk rate, CSW, when assessing pitchers, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, and I understand why a lot of people go that route, and I don't, if you don't know me. What I do is I instead focus on the pitches that guys throw, what their arsenal is, and if they performed in a way that is normal, that is better than expected or worse than expected, based on either what their stuff is, what their execution was, how they've done it in the past. And when it comes to McCullers, this is an exception, right? Emerson Hancock was an exception. So was Brandon Sproat in the other direction, right? This is why I can seem very negative or overly positive at times when it's surprising. It's because I'm looking at, okay, is this repeatable? Is this what we're going to get tomorrow as opposed to what we just got today being the same thing, right? So with McCullers, he's known as a volatile arm. And I'm going to give him full credit that the cutter that he's leaning into now is better than the supporting cast we've seen before. It was still a sub 60% strike rate pitch. I do want to note that. It wasn't this unreal strike pitch. In fact, the curve, changeup, and sweeper all had at least a 65% strike rate, which is also very rare for McCullers. He had sinkers that were getting in there for 28% called strikes, which is really good to see considering that his velocity has dropped over the years to 91. But the cutter at 90 with that sinker is very effective. So I'm in this place where I say, all right, if McCullers does this every time, I'm in. Like, he deserved success based on the performance of last night. However, Lance McCullers does not have a track record of throwing these secondary pitches for strikes consistently. He is notoriously an inefficient pitcher. And if you remember last year alone, he had a 12 strikeout game and then a 7 strikeout game with 0 earned runs. And the next 2 games came with 12 earned runs combined. It's what he does. So I'm happy for this one. And look, maybe this is the 0 earned run, 7 strikeout game next. And then we get out. It's up to you what you want to do. I am going to just not listen to this. I am just not going to follow this song of the siren as I wrote in the SP roundup. However, I do not blame you for doing it, and I really hope he actually is that kind of pitcher moving forward, Lance McCullers. Landon Roop, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Very similar in the sense that we haven't really seen Roop have consistent command with everything he does. And this was really fun with a new cutter grip that Eno Saris pointed out on Twitter. If you don't see that, I retweeted it. It's great. And that is a cutter that is a 4 mile per hour difference with 20 inches separation from his sinker. And that's cool. That's really cool. So he's able to throw both of those pitches and surprise one way or the other. It's a lot harder to tell versus like a slider. So big fan of that. And then you have a changeup and a curveball. The curveball, I think, is still Roop's best offering. we're going to hopefully see that continue to be a well-located pitch, the changeup. I wish he has a little bit more polish on. It's something where Roop does make sense. I just need to see him repeat this. I think it's possible to repeat, right? We saw him do that a bit last year. It's just a second year, and it's not 20 million things. It's just cool. Throw a cutter decently well, throw a sinker inside a righties, throw this curveball well. Changeups hopefully are there a decent amount of the time. That's all it needs to be, and this would work. So I'm generally optimistic about Roop. However, after getting burned last year of believing that his command from April was around and then it wasn't, it's a little bit of a tough sell. Bryce Elder, good example of like a birthday party. A thing that happens once a year and we're really happy, but we can't expect to celebrate every single week. And this was 6 innings, 0 runs. I'm so happy for Atlanta that it worked out, but this is not it. Luis Castillo, 4-seamers were upstairs with beautiful command against the Yankees, went 6 innings, 0 runs, and 7 strikeouts, where 13 whiffs on the 4-seamer at 94-95, actually really more 95, is really cool. But the slider is the number 2 pitch, and at times it was located well, sure. 34% usage and 47% strikes is just not good. So the gamble here is, okay, Luis Castillo, are you going to be able to get 13 whiffs on 56 four-seamers at the top of the zone and nail that command consistently, right? This is what the Mariners do, really is. With Hancock doing this now, Castillo and Wu, Gilbert's trying to do it, Kirby's trying to do it, right? They understand it. And especially in Seattle, it's a great place to pitch. So it's up to you. I am going to keep rolling with Castillo because it's a good schedule moving forward. So fine. And like, you're just going to hope it's more of the same. I am a little pessimistic on this being a good full season hold. Ever Cabrera, awesome stuff. We're cool here. Slider was really nice with 5 over 16 whiffs. And the I don't know why he's saying more 4-seamers than sinkers again. I actually talked to Zombro about it. And I'm going to keep banging the table, guys. You have Parker Messick against the Dodgers. Really surprising outing at 6 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. And to be honest, I wasn't totally impressed with this one. I think that his changeup was better last year. And I love the sinker, though, that he's adding. Like, he's really using this now 33% of the time to left-handers as opposed to 14% last year. He got it inside. Awesome. And normally we see that the 4-seamer is upstairs, changeup is underneath. 4-seamer was there, changeup wasn't. I really hope that he gets that and makes me more confident in the future. He goes to the Cubs next. Can't say I really love it because of the lack of changeup dominance, but the new sinker will help, so that's cool. So yeah, all right, let's just give it a shot and see what happens. Michael Soroka, my gosh, that was a start, huh? 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts against the Tigers. Beautiful. It wasn't because of the cutters that he was working on this spring. No, really, this was the peak of Soroka from last year, where amazing curveballs down and glove side, 44% CSW across nearly 50% usage. Oh my gosh. That is just incessant strikes. And I do question how repeatable it is just because it's more of the same, really. I haven't seen it. At the same time, like, old Soroka was a command guy. Like, it was his biggest asset as a young arm. He looked like a veteran with the way that he was able to manipulate all of his pitches effectively. I kind of want to give it a shot against Atlanta. I'm not going to worry right now about Merrill Kelly potentially coming back and knocking him away. Whatever. This is a free piece. Like, you're not thinking about full season stuff. You're just trying to get any value now. So I would, yeah, that's okay rolling with that. Chase Burns, dope. It makes us feel dope. And we're really happy with this. Yes, 3 walks. He had a 53% 4-seamer strike rate. Did not have his best 4-seamer command, yet his slider is incredible. So we're cool. Chris Bubich is Chris Bubich. I mean, he didn't locate his 4-seamer sinker beautifully. But yeah, he's the guy that you want. 92 miles per hour. And he took down the Twins. So cool. Kyle Harrison was good. I mean, really good. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. He didn't quite have the amazing changeup command. I actually went over his changeup with the stream on Twitch. If you don't know, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time every single weekday morning, I'm there. And Kyle Harrison only threw like 3 changeups that were like, that's what he wanted to do with them. So I'm a little annoyed by it, but he threw a ton of strikes. 74% strike rate overall is so good. And if you didn't catch it inside the roundup this morning, if you don't know, I do the SB roundup every single night. It's weekends, it's in the morning, but every weekday night, I cover all 30 pitchers. I had a fun time doing George Harrison songs inside the blurb. But yeah, 74% strike rate is so good from Kyle Harrison. We just get that every time. We should be fine. Tomoyuki Sugano, don't care. Ryan Weathers, 4.1 innings, really frustrating. He got gassed a bit. He threw like 98 to 99 in the first. I think he hit 90.9. And then he was like 93 in the fifth. He got gassed. It's fine. Maybe that's just what it is with that machine. He just needs more time to get more stamina. Same thing with Weathers. But yeah, we're really cool here. I'm just upset that it wasn't five innings, so I don't get a streaming victory, and it's so annoying. The Dodgers, rookie Sasaki and Justin Robleski. Kind of what we expected. Four innings, though, of Sasaki with just one earned run. Props. Props to him. That's cool. It was 73% strikes on the cutter. That's what he needs. Now, he needs one other thing, which is an actual elite pitch. He doesn't have one. But the four-seamer is 98. Yeah, it's empty velocity. And I'm going to use that term a lot because empty velocity is such a great way of dictating, like, yeah, you throw hard. And why doesn't he have whiffs? Because it's bad movement, like really bad movement. It is so terrible. And then you have a splitter that, what was it? Like, I think, 22% strikes. That's it, right? Okay, not efficient. 78 pitches for those four innings. I'm glad he was, he survived or whatever, but like, Sasaki is not there. Meanwhile, Justin Robleski isn't there either. It was four-seamer and slider from the left side, mostly, in 94 with the four-seamer. And the slider was fine. It was three earned runs in a really stressful seventh frame. He finished the game, the last four game frames in the inning of the game, rather. And I just don't think he's very good. I just don't think he's very good to hold on to right now. And like, Robleski can be very good, and I think that he will over time, because we've seen him go like 5-6 pitches and really work as a starter. But he kind of treated this like he was a reliever. I'm not ready for that. Now, I feel really bad for Cody Ponce against the Rockies, and he's hurt right now. It looks like it's a hyperextension, the knee. Ugh, he should hit the IL. It's really unfortunate because it looks so good. 15 over 47 whiffs before trying to cover first or get that ground ball, and it stinks. 15 whiffs, 2.1 innings. Oh my gosh. So not fair. The replacement is, I believe, Lizardo Estrada. I'm not interested. Braxton Ashcraft, speaking of not interested, I feel like this is the Wascari Noah rule. If you don't know what that is, it's where you have one really good breaking ball and the fastballs aren't elite enough and there really isn't much else. And it's not the slider that is the breaking ball. It's the curveball. And I agree with that. And I like that he's throwing that more than the slider. So they both went like 25 to 30% usage against righties, but then there's 41% usage of the curveball to the lefties. And it's just like one slider. And it's 84 with really good two-plane movement. Negative 12 drop and negative 8 sweep. Just know that's great. Okay, you want to, if you see like 20 added up, essentially, it's great. with at least five, or really at least like seven, six of each. And he also throws 96, 97, but note that he went 0 for 43 in whiffs on those four seamers and sinkers. It's like, this is why he goes four walks, you know? It's not overwhelming. And when it's not overwhelming and you're inefficient, what are we doing? Why are we going for that? I'm not the biggest fan of Braxton Ashcraft because of it. Maybe he gets better with it, and I hope that maybe the curve and slider need to be like 65% usage, 70%. I don't know. Is he going to do that? Is he going to throw enough strikes? I don't know. It's just not for me. All right, we have other guys to talk about. We have some disappointing games, some surprising ones as well. And of course, we have today and tomorrow's streamers to consider. We're going to go over all of that after this break. Nick Martinez, six innings, 200 runs. This was good. I don't like that he was sub 50% strikes on his changeup. It was only 3 Ks. I really don't feel we can chase it. It's just very meh. We have Jack Leiter, 21 whiffs. This is a perfect example of like, hey, cool, this is a great outing. Did he do the things that we wanted him to do to really believe it being repeated? And Jack Zippo, well, did not have the command you want to see. He had a lot of whiffs on the slider and the changeup, and it was really awesome seeing a 70% strike rate with 8 over 27 whiffs on the changeup, 29% changeups. I am so on board with that. If that's what Jack Zippo does all the time, that's Jack Leiter, I'm very much in, okay? Now, his four-seamer went 0 for 16 whiffs, and Jack Leiter's four-seamer is supposed to be the elite foundation. It is hard, 97. It is a flat attack angle, has good vert, is good extension. Like, the whole thing is there, and over 16. Why? Because he can't command it. 44% strike rate. And I'm not going to buy into consistency from Jack Leiter until I see a foundation that is just consistent. Is that all of a sudden changeups and sliders and this new cutter and everything? Is it that? Maybe it is. And he only threw 16 four-seamers across 92 pitches. And maybe that's what I'm missing here, is that, like, Jack Leiter definitively is a different guy now. I wouldn't also say that, like, he had amazing pitch separation with everything. He just kind of threw into the zone, and hopefully it was good. That might be good enough, honestly, when you're a Steph McNasty like he is, if it's just changeups and sliders and cutters or whatever. But I'm a little weirded out. I'm going to try it, but he could become a hipster. Headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster, where you see this one game and he doesn't quite repeat it often enough that it actually is beneficial throughout the entire year. Okay, just keep that in mind. Clay Holmes, the Adobe, did the Adobe things, like seven base runners in 5.2 innings, got a win. Wasn't very exciting. It's against the Cardinals. Yeah, that's him. That's him. You're going to have a bad whip at the end of the year, I think, with Clay Holmes. Seaman Woods, Richardson isn't doing enough. Velo is 92-93. Let's say 92.5. And the splitter was terrible. He had a 53% strike rate and was lucky to leave this game with 200 runs in 5 innings. Do not touch him. Foster Griffin is trying to become a swatch. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks against the Phillies is really impressive. And I want to do, like, that meme of the guy accepting, like, a butterfly, being like, is this a swatch? It was a cutter that saved the day a bit. And, like, he did locate that one really well. He threw this terrible 92-mile-per-hour four-seamer. My gosh, I don't know why he would throw that in a 2-2 pitch when it's clear that you should throw something else. It was just, yeah, that was both of his runs. He does not have a changeup that's killing it. So he can't be a swatch if you don't have an elite changeup that's tight. You know, you can't have a tight changeup. You understand. I'm not in on Foster Griffin. I don't think this is exciting enough. Davis Martin against the Marlins. I was debating, okay, do I go Davis Martin or do I go Chris Paddock? Well, we'll talk about Chris Paddock. Oh, boy, not them. Davis Martin was the correct answer, but it was, I mean, fine. It was 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. He did get the win because, my gosh, everything else. And of Paddock, but Martin, extension was down. Velocity was down. He did not get his pitches over the plate as he wanted. I just don't want to do that. Walker Buehler, no thank you. He tried to make this changeup work at like 46% usage and 38% strikes against lefties, which is so funny. I don't think I've ever seen higher usage than strike rate on something like that. It's just 46 to 38 is so rare. And no, thank you. Jacob Lopez, we're hoping that he was going to be that caper walk guy of like 7 Ks, 1 walk. No, it's the opposite. 5 walks and 0 Ks. Do not go for that. Kyle Leahy, I think he's kind of interesting. I'm shocked that he gave us a how am I supposed to butter my bread with this with just one strikeout against the Mets, because he has filthy stuff. Like, he actually has a 7.2 feet of extension and 93-94 with a sweeper and a slider and a curveball and like has all the things. I just don't understand why you're throwing this slider that's really good at 90 miles per hour at just 10 times. It's better than his sweeper. He threw strikes, but he didn't really hit his spots. And, you know, the Mets just kind of battled through it. I think he's better than this, but there's no reason to expect it right now and just kind of wait on it. If you really feel like you need to stash things early and take a chance, okay. But I just wait and see, and I'll let you know when he is clicking. You have Ranger Suarez, didn't really go well. We're just going to wait. He's not really hitting the spots as you want right now, so I hope he doesn't turn into a hipster, but I'm going to bank that by May 1st, you're going to be really happy with Ranger Suarez. Chris Bassett, yeah, it's just, it's interesting. He goes against lefties, sorry, with righties as a sinker curve guy, like 85% of the time. This is the guy who's supposed to be like a massive kitchen sink guy, right? Like 8-9 pitches. And he does have like 5-6 pitches he throws 10% of the time against lefties. But it's really interesting to see sinker curve and no cutters or anything like that now. It's just not enough. You know, he's a very discount streaming option, like a 15-teamer at this point. Or if you're desperate for a win on a weekend and 12-teamer. Justin Verlander, yeah, he got some slider whiffs, but that's it. And we don't want to touch this right now against the Diamondbacks. 500 runs in 3.2 innings. Taiwan Walker, 600 runs in 4.2 innings. No, thank you. He did throw more cutters at least, but not like the same amount as last year. No, thanks. Ryan Johnson for the Angels against the Cubs. 3.1 innings, 600 runs. No thanks. The splitter is cool to lefties, and that's it. It just looks bad on paper. So no thank you. And Chris Paddock, he led a 3-run shot and a grand slam. Oh, so annoying. He also went 42% strikes on his cutter. He does have a new sweeper that did have some whiffs. Okay. But yeah, you're just don't touch Paddock. Just don't touch Paddock for a while. It was 15 whiffs at least. Don't do that. All right, we got to talk about today and tomorrow's streamers, and it's really easy for so many guys in the auto start chair. I'm really excited about Shane McClanahan. Today, Max Scherzer is a stream pick against Colorado. Apparently, the wind is going out in Baltimore, like hurricane winds, so maybe not Zach Eflin against the Rangers, but I don't know what to do with that. I'm not skilled at understanding the weather and what correlations we should chase there. I just generally ignore it. But I want to give you guys that information if you want to do something otherwise. I like Zach Eflin for this year. I think he's underrated. Brandon Williamson is actually a very sneaky start for today at 2% rostered against Pittsburgh. I think that actually he's a quality start machine and looked really good in the spring. You have Brandon Faught against the Tigers if you're interested in going for something 10% rostered. But I don't know if Faught is going to execute everything correctly. It could be interesting. It could actually work. But I have Brandon Woodruff in the probable start tier. You have Andrew Painter against the Nationals. I'm really excited about that. Only 28% roster, oddly enough. And I feel like that's too good of a situation with enough of a pedigree to be like, all right, let's just see if you can locate the 96-mile-per-hour fastball well enough and then do well with the breaking balls. And the do not start tier. I'm not touching Tyone or Junk or Palante or Zach Littell has an opener today if you're worried about that one, but you shouldn't be starting him anyway against the Phillies. Germán Márquez against the Giants. Maybe the whiffs, right? No. You have Eric Fede, Aaron Savali, Jose Suarez, and Ryan Feltner. I mean, none of these you should be going after. So let's look at tomorrow. And tomorrow is ace day. I mean, really, like the top 18 are pretty much all aces. Matthew Boyd is included inside of the Angels, and that's an auto start for me. I don't care what happened last game with the home runs that happened. Sure, that stupid fourth inning. 20 whiffs on opening day. Okay, he's good. You're fine. Everything's fine. Guys are allowed to have a bad start, and it doesn't mean that they're forever bad. Everyone has bad starts every single year. Probable start here. I'm curious to see how Noah Cameron finally looks. You have Zach Gallen against the Tigers. Cameron's against the Twins. Shane Smith is my stream pick, and I don't like it. But fine, it's against the Marlins, who aren't very good. So 19% roster there, sure. Mike Burrows, I am going for against the Red Sox. Mike Burrows, I think, is better than we saw in his first game. Slider, new slider is a good addition. The changeup is his best pitch, and we should see more of it and it performing better than last time as well. So I think we can just kind of hand wave the first one. Questionable start. You have Matthew Liberatore at 16% rostered against the Mets. It's the Mets, and I don't really want to go for this. Also, Liberatore is not this overwhelmingly like great starter. He goes six innings. He's a Toby. He has a good long leash. He has things from the left side. But he's not a well-executing swatch, right? He's not this stud lefty who's going to dominate each time. You're going to be happy that he gets his like six innings, two runs. Maybe it's like five and a third, something like that. Should generally be fine. But it's not really a hold in 12-teamers. And I feel like against the Mets, you don't need to do this. Gavin Williams and Luis Severino are also here. I have Severino at the top of this. And it's because it's at Atlanta and it's not in Sacramento. He also had increased velocity last time. The cutter is really cool when he's able to execute that. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here that he's able to keep producing at least for one more when he's outside of Sacramento. Gavin Williams against the Dodgers. Well, he had terrible mechanics in his lower half is what he said last time, and he walked a lot of people. And now it's the Dodgers, so I'm just going to play it safe if I have him. Cade Cavalli, don't trust against the Phillies. 10% rostered, but I don't think that it's anything more than a really good curveball. What? The velocity is there. Okay, fine. When he's able to spot his four-seamer sinker, he can get through it. But then again, that's what he did against the Cubs, and it was a sub-4 innings on opening day. You have Kumar Rocker, Yusei Kikuchi, Adrian Hauser, and Kyle Freeland rounding it out. I don't think I need to tell you anything about those guys. Do not start them. But Adrian Hauser could be a streaming option later in the year when he's not going in San Diego, not in San Francisco against the Padres. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Yes, lifetime subscriptions are still open just for about, I guess, another week here at Pitcher List. It is the number one way to support us. I cannot express enough that we are building the things for you. If you don't know about PitcherList and what I do, we have 4 full-time staffers, actually 5 now, including me for the first time ever. I do not pay myself more than my staffers. I actually still haven't officially really started paying myself that salary yet. And I'm dedicated to making this the number one baseball website, baseball company that is built around good people enjoying the game and doing it right. We don't do sports betting. We don't do DFS. We do everything the right way. And we understand the lockout is coming. It goes so far for us, for you guys to get these subscriptions, especially the lifetime ones where it's essentially 4 years in advance. And let me tell you, we will still be here doing this in 4 years and many more than that. And your support helps us keep the lights on, make sure that we're not a ball of anxiety this time next year with the lockout and everything, and also accelerates the stuff that you'd be getting, like our pro dashboard, like the apps that I've been making for myself that getting applied to give all of you, and so many more things. We have so many wonderful projects in the pipeline that we want to be able to do. So please consider helping us do that. Go to pitchwiz.com/lifetime, sign up for PL Pro or PL Plus Lifetime today. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.